verse. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. Wonderful singing. Let's start off our service with a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this day and the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to hear the preaching of your word. We thank you for our pastor, Lord, that he can teach us the fundamental truths of your word, Lord, and instruct us in your word and in righteousness. And I thank you for every precious soul that's in this building tonight, Lord. I ask that you please bless his service. I ask that you please bless his singing. And most of all, please fill Pastor Mahee with your spirit as he preaches your word unto us, and fill us also with your spirit in the congregation, that we may take what he preaches and apply it to our lives, Lord, that our lives may be changed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn your songbooks to song number 281. Song number 281 as our second song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Song number 281, all together nice and strong on that first verse.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Singing. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 121, Like a River Glorious. If you want to get that ready in your songbooks, 121. Our services are as follows. Sunday morning is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and then we have our Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. You see the fall program there at the on the left-hand side. We had the pie baking contest this morning. Congratulations to the winners. And then, of course, the Ladies' Prayer Meeting and Cookie Exchange is this coming Saturday, October 29th. You can see Ms. Janelle Gonzalez for more details about that. Ms. DJ's baby shower is going to be on Sunday, October 30th, which is next Sunday, and that'll be after the service. Annual Thanksgiving Banquet is the conclusion of our fall program. That'll be on Tuesday, November 22nd. And just keep in mind that that'll take the place of our midweek service. So we're not going to meet on Thursday on that week because of Thanksgiving. We're pushing the service back to Tuesday as we do every year. And you see the location there. Please make sure you RSVP on our website if you're going to come. And feel free to invite your family and friends and associates, coworkers, whoever you want to come on that day. To feast with us. And, of course, if they're not saved, we can preach to them the gospel, get them saved. And so looking forward to that. And, of course, just as a reminder, that is the 1800 style. Okay, that's going to be the theme. So don't be the party pooper and just come 2022 out, you know, just all 2022 gear and all that. Make sure you get it, participate, get involved, and look silly like the rest of us, all right? Next week, of course, as I mentioned, is the Teen Sunday, Teen Night. After the Sunday evening service, we'll be heading to Yogurtland, and we'll have some yogurt after service for all the teens who come out. Of course, anybody's welcome to come, but I'm only inviting the teenagers for that, all right? And then on Sunday, November 6th, is the Apple Cider Fellowship, and then, as I mentioned, the annual Thanksgiving Banquet. And then, of course, there at the bottom, no food or drink allowed in the main auditorium except for water and coffee. Please make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. Let's go ahead and take some soul winning numbers from this past week. Salvations from Monday to Thursday. Any salvations from Monday to Thursday? One, okay. And then we had six for Barstow. Is that correct? Six for Barstow. Anybody else? How about Friday and Saturday? Friday and Saturday? One, okay. And then this afternoon, salvations for this afternoon, Brother Morris' team? Four for Brother Morris' team. Two for Brother Marcos' team. Two for Brother Hike's team, one for Brother Glenn's team. Did I miss anybody else? Going once, twice, thrice. Okay, keep up the great work on soul winning. Let's go ahead and sing our next song, 121, Like a River Glorious.
Song number 121, Like a River Glorious. All together on that first verse.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious, it is bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth.
sing. At this time, the ushers will come forth to collect the offering, and you can turn in your Bibles to 3 John.
Good evening. Tonight we're in 3 John. 3 John in the Bible reads, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that they would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record. And ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust and shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and for this church that you've given us, Lord. And thank you for the Bible, Lord, and thank you for Pastor as well. We pray that you bless him right now and fill him with the Spirit and give him boldness as he preaches the word. And I pray that we're edified and that we're attentive to the hearing, the preaching of your word, Lord, and just bless this service in every aspect. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, 3 John there. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 11. It says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now, here in 3 John, obviously the context is about this individual in verse number 9 by the name of Diotrephes, who the Bible says loved to have the preeminence among them. And he's talking about the fact that he's not willing to receive the Apostle John. He's a hater of those who are good. He's a hater of those who are the apostles. He kind of wants to be the important person in the church here. And then in verse number 11, he admonishes that congregation and tells them, "Follow not that which is evil." Now, obviously, the primary interpretation of this is basically saying, don't follow this guy. Don't follow Diotrephes. Don't support him. Don't follow him. But I'm going to use this portion of scripture as a secondary application of something that a principle that I believe you can find throughout the Word of God that's pretty should seem pretty simple to all of us as Christians, as believers, and that is that we shouldn't follow that which is evil, right? The title of my sermon this evening is A Christian's Attitude towards evil, Christian's attitude towards evil. You say, well, yeah, obviously, that's like a no-brainer. You know, we shouldn't follow that which is evil. But, you know, there's so many Christians today that will have that philosophy. They believe that. They understand that evil is not something that we should be a partaker of. They recognize readily that, you know, we shouldn't associate that which is wicked and sinful and ungodly and demonic. But for some reason around this year, Christians make an exception to that, you know, during Halloween, okay? Where it's just like, well, yeah, that applies all other times of the year. But, you know, this specific time of the year known as Halloween, you know, it's okay to dabble a little bit. But here's the thing, you're still following evil. And the Bible has strict commands against some of the practices that we see during Halloween and a lot of principles that we can see. But before I get into all that, let me just explain to you what it means to be evil, okay? Because obviously that term evil is used various times in the Word of God in varying contexts, okay? You have evil that God does to someone. And that's not referring to something that is sinful, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You understand? Every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, etc. That type, the type of evil that God is responsible for is synonymous with judgment, okay? When evil comes upon a person by the hand of the Lord, evil comes upon a nation, evil comes upon a state. Often in the Word of God, when God takes credit for that, then that's referring to his judgment. That's referring to something that he's allowed, some sort of punishment, chastisement. You know, you think of all of these natural disasters that are out there, right? On a yearly basis, people constantly say, you know, California's being judged because of all the fires. And you know what? There is truth to that, because California is a wicked wicked state, and we have a wicked leader, wicked governor, Newsom. And I wouldn't doubt that on a yearly basis, God reminds us of that by sending fire and burning up all the trees or whatever and, you know, doing that. But you know what? It doesn't just happen in our state. It happens all across the country. You know, for example, you have the hurricane in Florida. You know, that would be that's considered something that's evil that's come upon them by the hand of God. Okay. And I know a lot of Florida people don't like to hear that, because they think they're God's gift to the United States of America, because they're so conservative, so Republican. You know, they have a wonderful governor or whatever. But you know what? Natural disasters say something different. Because obviously God judged Florida by sending that hurricane there. He said, well, how do you know? Well, when you have alligators, you know, just kind of swimming around in your kitchen, you know, and there's sharks there as well and all that crazy nonsense. You know, you could look it up in the Word of God. The Bible teaches that that is a punishment upon a nation. When the beasts of the field, or even of the sea, are kind of taken over, that's an indication that God is judging that place. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, that hurricane came to Florida, left, and then, like, came back again or something. You know, he said, why would God judge Florida? Well, because they're so prideful and arrogant. They think they're just the greatest things in sliced bread or whatever. And, you know, I honestly personally believe that Florida is just a very spiritually dark place. And you say, well, there's no paganism there. You know, what are you talking about? Yeah, but there's such a fake Christianity over there, where you have the Ruckmanites who have, you know, who have been had churches there, and there's people that who are Ruckmanites that have churches there, these hyper-dispensationalists. There's a lot of false prophets out there that have established churches. It just seems like a very spiritually dark place. And so, obviously, that's besides the point. What I'm saying is that, you know, that's the kind of evil that God is responsible for, okay? Natural disasters, the evil that comes upon an individual based upon a punishment that God is instituting, based upon a consequence that they're facing, that's a different type of evil, okay? And then there's the evil, you know, the Bible talks about the evil day where Satan is attacking us, right? Where he is battling us and he allows evil things, or he's trying to inflict evil upon us. You know, that's another type of evil. But the evil that I'm referring to is that which is associated with wickedness, sinfulness, demonic activity, that which is of, you know, satanic origin, that which is filthy and perverse. That's what the Bible also defines as being evil. And when the Bible says follow not that which is evil, it can be referring to that, right? That which is sensual, devilish, earthly, that which is satanic, you know, is what we should stay away from. Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to go through just a list of verses and just kind of explain what they mean here. And again, the more specific what I'm referring to is Halloween. Okay. Now, obviously, for example, you have people who celebrate Halloween, and then you have like the Hispanic community that celebrates Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, which is basically the same exact thing. The difference is they speak Spanish while they do it, okay? And it lasts for a couple more days or whatever it may be. But they still implement a lot of paganism, a lot of wickedness, and a lot of evil. And, you know, sometimes Christians think that that's permissible to do. That, yeah, you know, there's no harm in that. We don't really believe it. We just want to participate and have fun or whatever. But, you know, God is not for those things. And let me just say this, is that it's important that we as Christians, listen to this, do not become desensitized to evil. What does it mean to become desensitized? Well, it means to lessen the sensitivity of something, okay? In other words, when we realize that something is evil and wicked and it's wrong in God's eyes and it bothers us, we need to continue to allow it to bother us. And what happens sometimes is that Christians will open that door and they know that it's wicked, they know that it's evil, but because they either don't put it away from themselves or don't repent of it, or they just kind of allow themselves to dabble in it here, now, and again, what happens is they become desensitized to it. It doesn't bother them anymore. And they begin to tolerate it to the point where they embrace it. And then they make excuses why it's okay to do it. You understand? And that can obviously apply all across the board to all types of sins. But, you know, I think in context of what we're talking about this evening, it's definitely true when it comes to Halloween. I mean, churches have become desensitized to Halloween, to wicked practices. You say, well, how do you know? Well, how about like churches doing like trunk or treat or something, you know, which is a sanitized version of Halloween. You know, they still dress up and they still do all the pagan worship or whatever. It's just that church. And they put candy in a trunk and then kids come and take candy out of the trunk or whatever. But they're still celebrating Halloween. Okay. You can't be desensitized to these things. And if you ever feel like, man, I feel like I have become desensitized to those things because of social media, you know, because of, you know, documentaries that I've seen or people that I'm around, then you need to put those things away from you and ask God to soften your heart once again towards those things. Ask the Lord to help you. Lord, help me to hate these things the way you hate them, because I don't hate them. I tolerate it. I embrace it. You know, it doesn't bother me like it used to. And help me to regain that hatred for that evil once again, because that's what God wants for our lives, okay? And so we can't be desensitized to these things. That's why it's important that we preach on it on a constant basis. And I haven't really preached on Halloween the last couple of years because I've been focusing a lot on the Day of the Dead. And I think to myself, you know, well, our people already know that Halloween is wicked and you know, bad and sinful. But, you know, as our church begins to grow, we get a lot of new Christians. And first and foremost, sometimes people who have been saved for quite some time, they can regress in this area and make excuses why it's okay to observe it. But then you also have new Christians who didn't even know that it's bad. You know, they're planning to go to some Halloween party next weekend or something and you know, look like a skank or look like a freaking weirdo or something and go there, right, and participate and not even think anything about it. And so, you know, your pastor's up here telling you and going to show you from the Word of God why it's wicked and why we should not participate in it, why you shouldn't go to your job's Halloween bash or whatever, you know, or why you shouldn't allow your children to participate in those events either, okay? And look, this is not a sermon on anti-fun, you know what I mean? Oh, pastor's just, he doesn't want to have any fun. He doesn't want the kids to have any fun. First of all, my kids, in their closet, they have all kinds of costumes. Not anything wicked. They got their astronaut costume. They got their, you know, princess costume, modest princess costume. They dress up throughout the year, just have fun. There's nothing wrong with that. My kids eat candy, too. I don't know if you know that, you know. And my kids eat candy. They do all that fun stuff. But here's the thing. Do we have to, like, worship Satan while we do it, though? I mean, do you have to, like, be so diabolic about it? Do you have to get fake blood and spread it all over yourself to have? Why is that fun to you? You know, do you have to look like a whore? You know, while do you have to dress up your daughter like a whore in order for her to have fun? No, see, those are stupid reasons that people try to bring up and say, well, you know, we're just having fun. You know, looking like a whore is not fun. Amen. Okay, the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. And we have to think of mockery like we're making fun of someone, but mocking is like imitating, right? You're mocking sin. And you're a fool if you make a mock at sin and think that it's permissible to look like a devil or look like some sort of demon or whatever, or look like a skank or whatever. You know, that's not fun. That's not pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And we should stay away from those things, okay? Let me read you a couple of verses here. Of course, Romans 1:32 says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So God not only condemns people who obviously commit those wicked acts, but he condemns people who take pleasure in those things, okay? You say, well, how do I apply it? Don't watch that stupid Jeffrey Dahmer documentary. Amen. How about that? How about, for starters, you don't take pleasure in that disgusting filth on Netflix or whatever, and like, well, I just want to watch it for educational purposes or something. Why would you want to educate yourself on evil? You know, the Bible says, be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. You know, and I guarantee you, because, you know, Netflix is not necessarily like a Christian organization. I promise you, I'm pretty sure that documentary does not hold back on scenes of what that pervert devil did. Okay, so why would you want to fill your mind with those things? Why would you want to view those things and see all that filthy perversion? And, you know, you're like, who's Jeffrey Dahmer? Don't even worry about it. The guy's been burning in hell for so long, it doesn't even matter. Okay, he's a wicked reprobate who did a lot of wicked things that the Bible says that wicked reprobates do. And that's it. Why would we want to glorify and lift up some filthy pervert, cannibal or whatever, you know, and think that's like a cool thing to do? You know, folks, we need to be simple concerning those things and reject those things and recognize God condemns the person who takes pleasure in them. Okay. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So here's a good thing for starters. If you're struggling in this area, if you've been desensitized to this, you need to start fearing God once again. And when you begin to fear God, you begin to recognize I have a healthy fear of God where I don't want him to judge me. I don't want him to chastise me. The first step into that is you begin to hate evil. Okay? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 and verse number 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God, listen to this, and eschewed evil. What does that mean? He just rejected evil. Why was he such a perfect and upright person? Because he just hated evil. He would eschew it. He rejected it. It goes on to say in verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? So this isn't just like someone's opinion about him. This is God's opinion on him. This is God's assessment on Job. He recognized that Job actually, in his heart, deep down inside, hated evil. Okay. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So think about this. You know, you say, well, you know, we're not doing all the demon stuff and no one's going to dress up like Jeffrey Dahmer at my Halloween get together or whatever. But we're just having a Halloween party. Well, that's just an appearance of evil then. You know, and by the way, some Christians, you know, we need to learn that obviously the acts are sinful. But we need to learn that there's certain things that look sinful that we should stay away from as well. The appearance of evil. So God is not only against the action of evil, he's even against the appearance of evil. Let not your good be evil spoken of, the Bible says. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. You say, well, you know, give me an example. How can I abstain from all appearance of evil? Don't celebrate Halloween. How about that? You know, don't celebrate it, don't praise it, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, just don't stay away from it, okay? Look, folks, before I got saved, obviously, I was into Halloween because I wasn't even saved. It was just the day you go out and, you know, you collect candy and you go egg some cars or whatever, you know, back in my day at least, you know, in the 90s. You know, you go do a lot of mischief or whatever. But once you get saved, you recognize, oh, man, this stuff is associated with, like, the devil. This stuff is associated with that which is wicked and wrong. and anti-God, I need to abstain from these things and not partake in them. And it's one day out of the year. It's not like you're ruining your entire childhood or your children's childhood by not celebrating it. I mean, look, folks, who's to say you just can't have pizza on that night? And why don't you just buy your kids a bowl of candy and just give it to them instead of going to complete strangers? Like, why is it that you, would you trust any stranger? Don't we tell kids not to take candy from strangers? I mean, think about that, right? It's like, never take candy from strangers. But then one day out of the year, it's just like, yeah, go knock on every stranger's door and ask for candy. Have them put it in your pillowcase, you know? But that's permissible. That's nonsense. See how the warp the mind can get where it's just like, just common sense. Like, don't take candy from strangers unless it's on Halloween and you look like a devil and you knock on a person's door or you say trick or treat. Then it's permissible. Okay. And by the way, obviously, you don't know what's in that candy anyways. You know, they can be putting all kinds of stuff. Why don't you just go to Walgreens or wherever, Target, and go get the candy, put it in a bowl and say, yeah, here you go. Here's your candy. Okay. Now eat up or whatever and have pizza, dress up like a fireman, and we're just going to stay home and watch a Christian video or something like that. You know, why does it do you have to, you know, get involved in the occult? Right. Why does it have to become all dark and skanky and faggoty and all these things? It doesn't have to be that way. You know, you don't have to draw the line where it's just like, well, no, if I'm going to celebrate Halloween, I got to look like a hoe. You know, that's the only time I'm going to do it, you know. That's wrong, folks. Abstain from those things. Eschew those things, okay? You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. And no, we're not having, by the way, don't try to come to me and say, can we have an alternative? Can we do like a harvest festival at our church or something like that? And maybe we all could dress up like clowns or something. You know, don't tell me that, because I'm going to say, you don't have to dress up like a clown, because apparently the question you're asking me already shows me that you are a clown. Okay? You know, don't do that. Don't try to turn our church into these liberal churches where they do those, participate in those things and think that it's permissible, because it's not permissible. This is God's house, okay? Now, look, next week we're going to go to Yogurtland. I might even get some pizza for all the little ones, because they're not teenagers yet. We want them to have fun. We're not anti-fun. So don't point to us and say, you guys just don't know how to fun. We just don't know how to be wicked, I guess, is what it is. We don't know how to behave in an evil way, okay? And if you want to criticize us for that, then so be it. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we see that there's a congregation, the Bible would also refer to as a church, in the wilderness, and they all partook of the same thing. You know, in modern day, it was like they all heard the same preaching. We all have the same salvation. We all got the same Bible. We all got the same things, right? And then he says in verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So even though there's God's people are in the wilderness under the leadership of Pastor Moses, okay, and they saw all the miracles, they partook in all those activities, yet they still lusted after evil things and suffered the consequences because of it. Okay. And so the lesson that God wants us to learn is don't be like those people. Don't be like the group of people in the wilderness, in the church in the wilderness, who although was under the leadership of Moses and in that church, you know, they were still lusting after evil things. They still wanted to partake in the things of this world. Okay. He says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So he's basically saying, no, take that as an example. Don't lust after evil things. You should not have this inordinate lust in your heart to just, you know, go out there or go watch some scary. Put the horror movies away, my friend. You know, put Texas Chainsaw Massacre away. Put Amityville away. He said, how do you know those things? Because I watched them when I was unsaved. Okay, this is a first-generation church. I'm being honest with you. I'm being transparent with you. And so, you know, put those things away. It's like, well, just one day out of the year. Okay, just one day out of the year. I just like to scare myself a little bit. You know, you want to scare yourself a bit? Go look at your bills. You know what I mean? Go look at the gas prices. Drive around like, oh, man. You know, just like, go freak out over those things. Use that to get you scared a little bit. And I'll be honest with you. I like scaring people. Specifically my wife and my kids. I do. I'm all for it, you know? I love like, you know, just kind of hiding and scaring them. I think it's fun. And, you know, I don't need a mask, you know, to do it. Apparently, right? But, you know, some people, and look, there's like a group of people out there in society who just, they love horror, they love blood, they love gore, and, I mean, they love going to the haunted houses and being a part of that. And even, you know, Ulysses and I were just talking, you know, earlier this week about, you know, year-round they have, like, these extreme haunted houses where people literally have to sign a waiver because they do some really grotesque things in there for hours on end. And they're even, sometimes they're subject to death. Sometimes people could even die in those things. But people literally sign waivers for that. You know why? Because they love death. You know, well, that's not me. Yeah, but it's all in the same camp, though, my friends. It's all in the same camp. You know, put away the horror movies away from you. Stop watching the Netflix specials or whatever. Stop watching the Amazon Prime specials. Stop watching the YouTube specials on ghosts, on demons. You know, that has nothing to offer you. It has nothing to offer you. It's going to vex your righteous soul, and it's not Christian. And, you know, it's just not spiritually healthy for you to do those things, okay? Look at verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. I remember I had a friend. Go to chapter 13, by the way. Go to chapter 13. I had a friend who was a Christian, and we were both in Bible college, and he had divulged to me that he had seen some horror movie. It was around this time, and I don't know if it was like The Ring or something like that, or one of those horror movies where the person is just completely white or something, you know, and then they had like the jump scare or whatever, and he said he watched a movie. He's like, I gotta tell you something, I watched that movie. I'm like, why would you watch that? That's like, that movie looks scary, you know, and then he's just like, you know, I watched it, and like when I left, after I was done, like something was bothering me and stuff. Like it's just like I felt like dirty, he told me. You know, it's just like I felt, I'm like, yeah, it's called grieving the Holy Spirit. He's like, I literally felt that. And he's like, I regret like watching it. And, you know, I wish I hadn't. Like he said, in times past, I used to really enjoy watching horror movies and, you know, the Jason, the Freddy Krueger, although those are really cheap or whatever, you know, the Exorcist and all the, you know, I really like watching those. And so I thought, you know, it'd be the same thing. I just watch this and it'd be like whatever. But he said now it literally like grieved me in my heart. And it just gave me a really nasty feeling as I was going home. And even, it's not like he was scared. Like he was just in his sheets, like, you know, he just felt like really guilty. And I told him, I was like, you know, it's because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And so obviously when you start putting in that which is unholy and you subject the Holy Spirit to those things, it's going to grieve him. You know, it's going to bother him. And in like manner, it'll bother you. And so don't think that you can just watch it and it's not going to bother you. It's going to do something to you. And in fact, you know, if you watch it long enough, you'll become desensitized to it. And the problem with that is that when you become desensitized to something, you need something even crazier to get that, you know, excitement going or whatever. I guarantee you these people who go to those weird haunted houses where they potentially die, they didn't just start off going to these haunted houses. They probably started going to, like, Not Scary Farm or Six Flags Scary Mountain. I don't know, what do they call that? The horror place. What do they call it? You guys know. Yeah, come on, evangelist. What is it? Horror Nights? How do you know that? We'll talk after. Horror Nights, you know? And, you know, I'm sure they started off going to those things and getting the jump scare. And then it's just like that wasn't enough. So they had to do something a little crazier and a little more wild and a little more scary and watching the horror films. And after a while, like, even the stuff that would scare the most normal person just didn't do anything to them. And they're just like, I need to watch something crazier. I need to do something way more wild or whatever. And then what happened, obviously, they get to this weird point where they go to the haunted house where a bunch of reprobates are just torturing them. Because that's literally what it is. They torture them. And so don't go down that path, okay? And, you know, the Bible tells us, you're in 1 Corinthians 13, Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them to call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Psalm 26 verse 5 says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. You know, I refuse to be a part of a celebration that is anti-Christ. There's nothing in Halloween that says that they're pro-Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing about it is pro-Jesus. It's literally, I mean, the night prior to Halloween, it's called the Devil's Night. That's what they call it. It's like the eve of the Devil's Night. And Halloween is the same exact thing. And in fact, you're like, you're a conspiracy theorist. Folks, you can look it up. Satan worshipers do all their filth and perversion on Halloween night. I mean, why is that a surprise to you? You know, where children are kidnapped, you know, animals are sacrificed. You know, they do all this filth and perversion. Why would we want to even be remotely associated with that which is anti-Bible and anti-Christ? Blasphemous, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and look down at verse number 4, referring to charity, or as we would call it today, love, okay? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Look at verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. What does it mean to rejoice? It's like you're happy about it, right? And Halloween is literally a time of year where people are rejoicing in iniquity. You know, they rejoice, they go down the street, and there's like a knife hanging out of some guy's chest or whatever. Like, they rejoice in that. They're like, wow, that looks great, you know? You know, they rejoice in the whores. They rejoice in the blood and the gore. The crazier the costume, the better. You know, I mean, my wife and I are driving down our neighborhood, and there's always this neighbor who, like, you know, she decorates her front yard with Halloween stuff, right? And we're not just talking about, like, pumpkins with faces on them or whatever. We're not just talking about, like, webs. I mean, it's like corpses everywhere. I mean, but to make matters worse, there's, like, baby corpses. There's just, like, baby corpses hanging and stuff. And I'm like, how is this even permissible? Like, this is, like, why would you even, like, you like, store this in your house? Like, throughout the year? Like, what in the world? How can you even live with yourself? And she's just like, you know, she's setting up her stuff. I'm like, and every year it just seems to get worse. Like, every year there's more corpses, more blood, you know, just a lot of perversion. And you think to yourself, well, that's fun. Yeah, they're just messing around. You're desensitized. You get right with God. You need to get right with God. You need to soften your heart. If you see nothing wrong with a fake corpse of a baby, your head is screwed up. Something's wrong with your mind. Something's wrong with your heart. You know, every time we drive by, it's like, we don't want to look at that. You know, I have children. I don't want to see that nonsense. I don't want my children to see that. My wife doesn't want to see it. It's wicked. We don't want to rejoice in iniquity and be like, whoa, look at that. That looks so real. There's other people who literally will put, you know, they'll fill up a trash bag or something to make it look like a corpse in a body bag or something. Just put that on their front yard. And people will rejoice over those things. I mean, why would that not be permissible all year round except for this day? You understand what I'm saying? It's like all year round, Christians and people would just reject that. They'd be like, this is wrong. This is wrong. It's inappropriate or whatever. But all of a sudden on Halloween, it's just, or in the month of October, it's just okay to do those things. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird way of thinking. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. don't rejoice in iniquity. And it says to rejoice in the truth. Rejoice in the light. You can have fun as a Christian, my friend, okay? You don't need alcohol. You don't need weed. You don't need drugs. You don't need to look like a whore. You don't need to look like a vampire or whatever. You don't need to look, I don't even know if people dress up like that, but you don't need to look like Leatherface or, you know, these other serial killers. I guarantee you there's going to be a ton of people this year who are dressing up like Jeffrey Dahmer. I guarantee that people are going to do that. And they're just like, think it's like the, it's like this guy was like one of the most wicked you want to look like this guy? You know, you want to like dress like him and look like him? You know, it's just like, I hope those, and I guarantee you the glasses he wore, I'm sure that's going to be really popular. And no person better come into our church with those serial killer glasses. I'm just telling you. I'm going to be like, what are you doing? You know, those serial killer glasses. You know what I'm talking about. Those like 70s, 80s serial killer glasses that pretty much every serial killer had. I saw a meme that was just like, serial killers really looked at these and said, yo. You know, it was like, whoa, you know. It's just like, this is what they would wear. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:32. It says, if after the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. And so, you know, during Halloween and the month of Halloween, there's a lot of evil communication that's being put forth. And that's why the manners are becoming corrupt. Because what we say, how we talk, often affects our conduct. And that's the reason he's saying this, because he's saying in verse number 32, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, don't talk like that, because that's going to mess up. That's going to pervert your manners, your manner, your conduct, your conversation. Don't be a part of that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians, by the way, because we're going to come back to that. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. On that same note, it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, we ought to be good stewards of the Spirit of God that we have dwelling within us. And obviously, no matter what we put in, he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to just like, you know, we can't lose our salvation. He's sealed there. He's the earnest of our inheritance. But the command is still to not grieve him. In other words, don't put things in your ears and in your eyes that he would disapprove of, that he hates, that would grieve him. Grief is an emotion, which further proves that this is the third person of the Trinity, because he feels grief. Now, why is he grieved? Because he has to live in that temple that you have. And you're like putting in, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer. You're putting in, you know, horror flicks. You're putting in corrupt communication. You're putting those things in, and it grieves him because he has to dwell there. You understand? So he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He says in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let me say this. Social media is filled with all that stuff. There's so many videos out there of people getting beat up, or they fight, or people get run over, or whatever it is. And people like rejoice in people getting hurt. It's like they rejoice in people getting beat up. They make like nasty comments about it. You know, that's grieving to the Holy Spirit of God. He says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so that's all introduction. Go with me if you would. Actually, you're in Ephesians. Go to chapter 5 if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just giving you some basic principles regarding, you know, that which is evil, and how the Bible tells us that we are to be simple concerning evil, wise unto that which is good. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Verse 21 tells us, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And let me just give you a personal testimony of this, just to kind of show you that, you know, myself, before I got saved, obviously, I would celebrate that stuff. And, you know, that was just part of me growing up, you know, dressing up, going trick-or-treating, hanging out with my friends and doing all those things. But, you know, when you get saved, you have to kind of learn to kind of disengage from that way of thinking. And so, you know, when I got saved, it's just like, oh, man, a lot of things have to change in my life, because what I would typically do on the 31st is not what I'm doing now, you know. And it's just kind of like, and I'll be honest with you, it was kind of boring. I was just like, you know, what are we going to do, you know. But you know what? Maturity, right, says who cares if it's boring? We're trying to do that which is right, okay? And often, or what I've realized as a Christian, you know, growing spiritually and maturing spiritually, is that that which I see to be boring isn't necessarily boring. It's just that I haven't developed an appetite for the right things. You understand? It's like people when they switch from worldly music or CCM or something to like hymns, it's just like, oh, this music's boring. Well, it's not really boring. It's actually very powerful. It's actually very fulfilling. It actually has a lot of doctrine. It actually feeds the spirit and feeds the soul. It's just that you've developed the appetite for faggoty music. You understand? You know, and you know what? You need to change that appetite. And I know this may rub some people in our church the wrong way, but you know what? This is an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we're independent fundamental in our doctrine and in our music as well. Okay, don't come at me with, well, you know, that's not in the Bible. Well, you show me where CCM is in the Bible. Show me where it's just, you show me a psalm where literally they just repeat the same thing seven times over, and it's just the most shallow doctrine that you ever hear in your life. It's not found, my friends. Okay, and so, you know, change your appetite. Okay, and look, if this offends you, it only goes to show you haven't matured. Because of the fact that, you know, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay? You know, put away the CCM, put away the worldly music, and put away the Halloween mentality, where it's just like, well, this is what we've always done, and my mom and dad, we used to do all these things for Halloween, and all. Yeah, but you know what? We're Christians now, okay? And as Christians, and look, don't think it's just like, does this mean we can't have pumpkins or something? Have pumpkins. I mean, we gave out pumpkins last week. You know what I mean? You know, does this mean we can't, like, you know, do something next week? Of course you could do something. You do whatever you want. I'm not the Baptist police here. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, that you should eschew those things, that which is associated with darkness and that which is associated with Satanism. And tell me, why is it that you rejoice celebrating something that the Satanists love to celebrate? Satanists love Halloween. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Satanists love Halloween. It's their favorite day of the year. They love Satanism loves Halloween. They love all the horror flicks. So why do you like that which they like? You know, I thought the Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Why are you in agreement with Satanists? Okay. And look, you may go out here tonight and be like, well, I'm still going to celebrate Halloween or whatever. Okay, you know what? Then do us a favor and don't flaunt it. If you disagree with the Bible saying right now, and you're like, you know what? I'm still going to celebrate it. We're going to go trick-or-treating, blood, gore, whore, and all. You know, I'm going to dress like a little queer ghost. I'm going to be Jeffrey Dahmer this year. You know, I'm going to do it, and I'll get right on the 1st of November or whatever. If that's you, okay, then stop flaunting it on social media. Okay? By the way, if you want to listen to your CCM and you want to listen to all that nonsense, okay, do that on your own time, but don't flaunt it on social media. Don't just put it on social media, because you know you wouldn't say it out front here in church, but you're bold enough to put it on social media, though, aren't you? Because you know everyone's going to watch it. Yeah, getting a little uncomfortable here for a Halloween sermon, but you know what? We're living a day and age of social media where people aren't bold enough to say it to your face. They're not bold enough to say it in church, but they're bold enough to put it on an Instagram story. They're bold enough to put it on a social media post because it's their social media. But you know what? That's not boldness at all, okay? And you know what? Because we're in the day and age of social media, guess what? Social media is getting preached on too. Okay, you know, my father-in-law and those before him didn't have to preach on that because that wasn't an issue. You know, sometimes people would just sin in secret. They'd be worldly in secret. They celebrate Halloween in secret. They listen to their CCM in secret. But now they have the opportunity to do it out in public through social media. So if that's what you want to do, If that's what you want to be a part of, have at it, but stop flaunting it. Okay? Or, you know, put yourself on private or something like that. You know, it's just like, well, you know, I just want everyone to see. And why? Why? If you know that this is what the church disagrees with, you know it's wrong. You know, are you doing it to spite the church? Are you doing it to spite the preaching of God's word? I mean, think about that for a minute. Well, you know, that's just what I... And let me just say this. Husbands and fathers, help out with that. Amen. Don't just stay silent. Amen. And allow your family to post just whatever they want. Allow your children to post whatever they want. Allow your wife to just post whatever they want. Why don't you actually do something? Why don't you take some leadership? Yeah. Why don't you just man up and take some leadership and say, don't post that crap. You know, if you want to listen to that, and you know, in your headphones or whatever, and you want to permit that, that's fine. But don't post that, because this is an appearance of evil, and it makes it look like we're reproaching the preaching of God's word in our church. Okay? Because I can't tell you to stop listening to it, obviously. You know, if Gio likes CCM or whatever, if he likes the queer music and all that, and he's all about here I am to worship, you know, that's on Gio, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, man. The problem I'm going to have if Gio's like, you know, because you know his weekly stories, he's always posting stuff or whatever. You know, he's at the gym and he's just like, here I am to worship, you know. People are going to be like, aren't you a fundamental Baptist? What are you doing? So, you know, don't flaunt your sin. Yeah. Don't flaunt your worldliness. But more than that, husbands and fathers, do something about it. You know, you're like, well, I'm not really on social media. Then get yourself on social media and correct that in your children and in your spouses then. That's not an excuse. I digress. Okay. So, and that wasn't in my notes, but you know what? That's important to say. Okay. Because I'm not your old IFB pastor where I'm just not going to say anything about it. I'm going to say something at the risk of offending you. And if I offend you, then so be it. Just as long as the entire church knows where I stand on this. Amen. Then I'm not just going to be like, well, you know. Eh. No, I don't feel that way. Sorry, I don't. Actually, I'm not sorry. Okay. Oh, why you got to be so mean about it? Well, you know, don't do it. I don't have to be mean about it. So three reasons not to celebrate Halloween. Actually, I think there's four. Number one, and this is very basic, it originated with pagans. And don't give me this nonsense of, well, so did Christmas. Christmas. How is that something that originated with pagans when it's called Christmas? The celebration of Christ is actually something that really took place. And look, if someone wanted to celebrate Christmas on the 1st of January, so be it. I mean, I celebrate Christmas starting in September. I started listening to Christmas music back in September, you know? Gotcha, you know? I'm secretly listening to Christmas music back in September, right? I'm assuming some of you are doing that right now. Is that what you're... Oh, you are. Yeah, see, Courtney knows what's up. She's mature in the Lord, you know? We love the birth of Christ, my friends. And you know what? You know, I get all the feels for Christmas. You know, I get all the feels. You know, it's just there's a certain vibe that you get with Christmas, my friends. And you know, it's a better vibe than Halloween. But don't come at me like, oh, well, if you're going to speak out against Halloween, you should also speak out against Christmas. Why would I speak out against the birth of Jesus Christ? Because it originated with pagans. No, it didn't. You've been watching too many YouTube videos. Yeah, but, you know, they believe that a certain false god was born on that day. Here's the difference, though. Here's the difference, okay? Is that false god was literally never born. Whereas Jesus Christ was actually born, and there's actually 365 chance that he was born on the 25th. There's absolutely no chance that false god was born on any of the days of the year. But there is a 1 in 365 chance that he was born on the 25th, okay? Or there's 365 chances he was born on one day of the year, so. But it didn't originate with pagans. Halloween, in fact, did. You see, Halloween started off in different regions. Obviously, you have the Celts who celebrated their festival Samhain, which was essentially a festival that they celebrated to end off the summer and begin essentially the cold or dark part of the year, okay? And it was essentially to mark, you know, the death or whatever, you understand? To mark death or the dark season when the harvest would die and it would get colder. But they literally believed that the veil between life and death was at its thinnest during that time. So they believed that, you know, ghosts and demons would come and communicate with them and torment them, that was a possibility. So they would literally dress up in order to ward off those spirits. They would have these bonfires where they would do certain, you know, rituals or whatever. And so when the Catholic Church in their conquest was taken over, they didn't want to just like, you know, completely destroy their practices because they wanted to win over these pagans. So they essentially just amalgamated with them and say, we can just kind of have a blend of what you're doing and what, you know, the Catholic Church does. And then you have this thing called Halloween. Now, for Mexicans and the rest of the Hispanic world, Dia de los Muertos was birthed off of that as well. Okay. And so, yeah, you have the Romans practicing a form of Halloween. You have the Celts practicing a form of Halloween. That's where it originated from. Okay. And then it came over here and, you know, it turned into what we have today. But at the end of the day, we shouldn't celebrate it because of the fact that unsaved, wicked reprobates came up with it. I mean, pagans, these people were unsaved, wicked reprobates who worship devils. So why would we want any to be associated with that at all? Okay. Look at Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So can you think of any celebration in the United States of America darker than Halloween? Can you think of a celebration that's more unfruitful than Halloween? I mean, there probably is, as far as unfruitful is concerned. What?
Pride Month.
Oh, yeah. That's. You know what? You got me. That's true. He wins. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Pride Month is actually way more wicked than Halloween. Okay, Halloween comes in second place, though, okay? You're right. You're right. But you know, the Bible says that we should reprove it. Not to have fellowship with it, reprove it. So aside from the fact that we should separate from it, aside from the fact that we should not fellowship with it or have any, you know, association with it, God expects for us to also reprove them. It's not enough that you're separating from it. You also have to stand against it. See, a lot of people are okay with just like backing away and not participating in it. But they have this thing with, oh man, do I have to speak out against it? Yes, of course. Because you're light. Let your light so shine before men, my friends, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Awake to righteousness. And so we need to speak out against this and not be embarrassed and be like, yeah, well, you know, we don't really celebrate Halloween, to your Christian, you know, friends or to your Christian family. Be like, I don't do Halloween because Halloween is like the devil. Oh, you're such a party pooper. Well, you know, no, I'm not, because I'm a Christian. And Christians shouldn't celebrate things like this. We should reprove those things. And so, you know, we're not for it. And it has pagan worship. It's originated with pagan worship. We should have no dealings with it and abstain from all that. Okay. Go with me, if you would, to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Not only that, but it glorifies death and evil. I've already talked enough about that. But, you know, Halloween has this obsession with death. It has this obsession with evil. It has this obsession with Satan. And it has a tendency to kind of soften the blow of Satan's wickedness and his devices, where people are just like, oh, okay, it's Halloween. It's okay to see this stuff. It's okay to participate in it. But it glorifies death and evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Number three, I mentioned this, but it grieves the Holy Spirit and it will vex us. 2 Peter 2:6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after shall live ungodly, and deliver just lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's a good verse for you to memorize and meditate upon when you're invited to that wicked Halloween party. Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to go, but we're not going to drink, though. Because, you know, drinking is wicked, you know. So it's okay for you to be around people who are drinking, though? Well, we're going to go, but, you know, I'm going to be modest when I go. As you're amongst those who are immodest. We're going to go. We're just not going to dress up all crazy. As you're amongst those that are dressed up all filthy and perverse. I mean, folks, that there's no logic in that. You know, I don't think Lot looked like a fag in Sodom. I don't think he had skinny jeans on in Sodom and Gomorrah and looked like a queer and dressed up like Jeffrey Dahmer. I think he probably just looked like a regular person, but I guarantee you there's a bunch of people around him that did look like that. And you know what? That vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Why? Because that's not what he's about. That's not what we're about. He said, well, what am I going to do on that night? Sleep? You ever think about that? Well, I mean, fun. Go order pizza, okay? Put on Marching to Zion or something like that. And, you know, get some ice cream and go to sleep afterwards. I mean, that's a fun night for me. Sleeping in general is a fun night for me. I'm like Sarah and I, we're going to do some crazy time. We're going to go to sleep on time. You know, we're going to bed on time, you know. If we just fall asleep on the couch, it's like, that's like fun now, you know, because I'm old. It's just like before, it's just like, you know, staying out all late. No way, no way. The latest I'll ever stay out is here at church because people are keeping me up. But other than that, at home, I'm just like, get the kids to bed. Let's go to bed. I'm tired. You know, I've got things to do tomorrow. But if we have to have fun, this is what I do, okay? Let me tell you what I do with my family to have fun, okay? We, obviously not right now because I'm on keto, but we order pizza, get ice cream, and you know what we do? We watch an Andy Griffith show. That's what we do. Really wild, huh? You know, and you, everyone's like, Andy, what? What is that? It's a black and white TV show, you know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. You know, we watch that with the kids, and we just sit around and look at each other's faces, and we talk to each other. You know, you're like, that's boring. Yeah, that's because apparently you don't like to be around your family. You don't like talking to your family. You don't like, you know, we should enjoy being around our family. The Bible says that we are to enjoy our children. You know, I actually like looking at my wife's face. I actually enjoy looking at my children and playing with them and playing tag with them and playing tickle parties with them and just running around and just having fun. You know, I don't need all this gore and blood and all that nonsense to have a good time. And if that's what you need to have fun, you know, you need to check your life, okay? And not just, you know, keep making it crazier and crazier just to get that jolt of joy or whatever. Rejoice in the truth. Just rejoice in the basics of life. Okay, but don't grieve yourself because someone invited you to a Halloween party where they have a cauldron of apple juice or whatever, and it's probably spiked, and everyone, all the girls there look like whores, they look like sluts, yes, I said it, you know, everyone, there's blood and gore everywhere, there's black lights, there's all kinds of types of nonsense, and it just looks dark. Folks, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Think about that for a second. The only time I like the dark is when I'm going to sleep. I'm like, turn off all the lights, close the curtains. I want my melatonin just leaving my body at a crazy rate because I'm trying to go to sleep. Okay, but not while I'm awake, just in the dark. You know, all spooky with the spooky music. You know, they're probably playing Michael Jackson Thriller. You really want to listen to that pedophile sing that? But don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't allow yourself to be vexed. You don't have to go to your company party. You don't have to go to your best friend who grew up with you. Right? Your best friend invites you. Come on, this is, we always do this. This is what you say. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. But you did it last year. Well, last year I was still a babe in Christ. Now I'm trying to grow here and I'm not trying to do it. And look, if your best friend is willing to try to make you compromise, that's a problem, number one. Yeah. But number two, you should be a best friend and be like, nope, because Halloween's wicked. Yeah. And you shouldn't celebrate it either. What are you doing celebrating Halloween either? Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you a believer? Why don't you put them on the spot? And when they put you on the spot and say, well, aren't you hanging out with us like we used to be back in the day? You say, because I'm a Christian now, why are you acting like a worldly person and not following the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God? Make it awkward for them. I have no problem making a situation awkward for people that I talk to. You know, I want the upper hand. And be like, actually, it's just weird that you would want to celebrate that wickedness. So why are you doing that? Don't you read the Bible? Aren't you a Baptist? I thought we, like, separate from that stuff. Oh, it's because you go to, like, First Works Baptist Church. How'd you know? And what kind of church do you go to? What kind of church do you go to where they permit that? You know, put them on the spot. Stop letting people put you on the spot. Okay? And husbands, don't allow, you know, your family, your wife, your children, your auntie, your mama, your dad, your brother and sister to peer pressure you into doing that which is contrary to God's word. Amen. Get a backbone and say, we're not doing it. Amen. I can't believe it. But last year, you know, it's funny because now it's this year. So there's no change. Yeah, well, last year, there's a lot of things. You know, I was a year younger last year, too. You know, there's a lot of things that were different last year. This year's different, so we're not doing it. So stop asking. I'm just telling you what I would say. You don't have to say it that way or yell like I would. You can do it in a different way. I'm just trying to give you a template. This is the Romans road for you, okay? Don't vex your soul. Don't vex your children. Don't vex your family. Number four, why we shouldn't celebrate Halloween. It turns women into whores. And I've already talked about that. I don't know why. It's just people think that it's okay to dress in an immodest way during Halloween. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, you know, throughout the year, it's just like be as modest as possible. For some reason, Halloween comes around. It's just like, oh. Time to pull out my hoe dresses, my hoe skirts. Like, well, you shouldn't say it like that. You're going to offend some people. Well, you know, I hope I offend some people and cause people to be ashamed of that clothing so that they don't do it. I'm not speaking to a bunch of unsaved people here, right? Is everyone saved here? Does everyone believe the Bible? Are we all Christians? Are we all Baptists? Are we all members of an independent fundamental Baptist church here? Okay, then this shouldn't be like, oh, You should be like, oh, yeah, he's right. You know, I guess people do dress like whores during that time. They do. I mean, who's going to argue with me on that? Yeah. Does anybody here want to debate that and say, no, I've been to an Amish Halloween party or something like that? Doesn't exist. It turns women into whores. And you know what? My next point, which is my last point, it was actually 5 points, sorry. Is it why we shouldn't celebrate Halloween? Is it sets a bad example for our children. Amen. Yeah. That's a really bad example for them. Because here we are throughout the year, just like gung-ho about holy living and righteousness, and you know, we're against that, which is satanic. But then this one day out of the year, it's just like, oh, but it's okay. Like, you know, Dad, why is Mom dressed like that? It's just like, oh, just one day out of the year or whatever. Why are we doing this? Oh, it's just one day out of the year. It sets a bad example for our children. And our children are like sponges. And you know what? They know when you and I compromise. They know it. Don't think that they don't know it. Doesn't matter how young they are. They know when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, and you're making an excuse for it. Okay? And especially something as grave as Halloween. You understand? Where it's just like, this day it's okay to do it, and it's okay to dress this way. You know, don't be a bad example for your children. You're going to regret it in the long run. Yeah. You're going to regret it in the long run. And look, Miss Kelly, can someone get her a cup holder, please? Good night in the morning. Can we get a butler over here just to kind of hold the cup for Miss Kelly? She tried to put that cup down like 5 times. We'll wait. No, I'm just kidding. Go to Romans 13. It sets a bad example for our children. What was I saying? Compromise. What? They know when we compromise. I already said that. What? They absorb everything like a sponge. And so, you know, what you do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. And, you know, I've known Christians, even those who are like of, you know, they're dad's a pastor, and they celebrate Halloween. They do all that stuff because the father never just, you know, the pastor never just put his foot down and said, we shouldn't do this. You know, I'm thankful, and it's not my father-in-law, by the way. My father-in-law was completely against Halloween, and, they, you know, he wasn't for celebrating it. They wouldn't go trick-or-treating or anything like that. And so I'm thankful for that example. And you know what? I'm not saying be perfect because no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect example for my children, but I am the example that my children have. And so I have to do the best as a first-generation Christian to set the bar high because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up knowing these things. I had to, like, learn these things firsthand, so to speak. And then we have to impart this into our children so that our children don't grow up, you know, looking like whores and weirdos one day out of the year or something like that. You know, they need to reject those things and not be for them. You say, well, what should I do then instead of, like, dressing up on Halloween? You know what I mean? Because I really want to dress up. I really want to put on a costume or something. Look at Romans 13 in verse 11. It says, and that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than what we believed. The night is far spent. The day is in hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light, the Bible says. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Listen to this. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, put on Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying he's a costume, because of the fact that the new man is something that's supposed to be put on a daily basis. And so if you don't like this sermon, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The inward man delights in the law of God. The Bible says that I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. So if you don't like what I just said, you don't like my sermon, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and your new man will like it. You put on the new man will say, hey, everything he said was right. Why are you mad? You mad, bro? Like, why are you getting upset about this? You know, he's right about it. This is what the Bible says. This is what we should be doing. Okay? The flesh is the one who just wants to dress like that, act like that, do all those things. The spirit wants to put on Jesus Christ and loves righteousness and rejoices in the truth and doesn't rejoice in iniquity, doesn't rejoice in that which is filthy and perverse and evil. This is what our attitude should be as Christians towards evil. Okay? And not allow ourselves to become desensitized to it. You know, I know it comes around every year and you know, people celebrate it. You have people at your jobs. Your boss is throwing a party next week. Your neighbor's throwing a party. You know, oh, but it's really just kind of, no. If there's anything associated with Halloween, I don't want nothing to do with it. You know, that's not. And by the way, Halloween literally means hallowed Eve. You know what hallowed means? It means holy. Let me ask you something. Is there anything holy about Halloween? Absolutely not. So, why recognize that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Help us, Lord, as your people to draw nigh to you. And Lord, help us to just live a life that's pleasing unto you, Lord. Help us to raise our children, our families, lead our families, our wives in the way of righteousness as best as we can, Lord. And to reject that which is evil in this world. And who cares what the world is doing? Who even cares what worldly Christians are doing? If that's what they want to do, then so be it, but they can't use the Bible to justify it. I pray that, Lord, we would be that remnant that just obeys the word of God. And if there's someone under the sound of my voice that maybe got offended at what I said, may they put on Jesus Christ and delight in the law of God and seek to walk in the laws of the Lord and have that discernment, Lord. And I pray you bless us as we go on our way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please turn your songbooks to song number 152. Here is our last song, song number 152, Security. Song number 152. All together on that first verse.
More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Not yon star on high abiding, nor the burden home desiding. God his own doth tend and nourish, in his holy courts they flourish. Like a father kind he spares them, in his loving arms he bears them. Neither life nor death can ever from the Lord his children sever, For his love and deep compassion comfort them in tribulation. Little flock, to joy then yield thee. Jacob's God will ever shield thee. Rest secure with this defender. At his will all foes surrender. What he takes or what he gives us shows the Father's love so precious. We may trust his purpose wholly. 'Tis his children's welfare solely.
Amen. Wonderful singing. You are dismissed.